What's going on? Peace and love. Salutations to the planet. It is Trey Matthews checking in. Welcome back to another harmonious installment of the Trey Matthews podcast. I am your humble host, Trey Matthews. I want to shout out the first timers, the last timers, and in-betweeners for coming back week after week, showing much love. Hopefully everybody's feeling blessed and highly favored out there. And I appreciate y'all again for coming back for another episode. So yeah, let's go ahead and get into the meat and potatoes. I would say, you know, how my aura is feeling. I'm feeling wonderful, man. I'm feeling blessed. I'm in a good headspace right now. And I don't know, I just kind of realized something within the last 20 minutes of how my growth has been developing. And what I mean by that is I used to be the kind of person, if something weird happened from the universe, like a weird sign, or like if somebody was giving me weird energy, I would let that ruin and affect my entire day, maybe let alone my entire week. But I'm no longer letting that happen to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, those small moments are only so temporary, and you should only waste 5 minutes through that and keep it pushing. And that's not to say, like, to not, like, don't harp on your feelings, because all of our feelings are valid. All of our feelings are legit. But if it's something so small that it's not going to even matter in 10 minutes, let alone next week, like, why even stress and spend your energy doing that? Like, you're going to overstress and overwork yourself for no reason. And that kind of gets me into, I guess, the icebreaker that I had this week. And I got this inspiration from my homie Tev. Shout out to you, Tevin. He actually tweeted this a few days ago. And I quote, "Getting weird energy when you give nothing but genuine and positive energy is insane to me." Because it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the type of person, like, I'm a firm believer of positivity and putting out good into the world. Whether that's interacting with people, whether that's my karma going out into the universe, like, I always inspire to do good. And I understand, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like there isn't days where I wake up and it feels like somebody pissed in my cereal. Like, I'm human. So I have my emotions that I go through, things of that nature. But 9 times out of 10, man, I try to put my best foot forward and just try to navigate I would just say just navigate through the bullshit to be pretty blunt with you. So my question to you is, how do y'all navigate through the bullshit? You know, how do y'all, control your feelings when it comes to people giving you weird energy, when it comes to your job giving you, weird energy, when it comes to the universe just trying to tell you something, but you not really understand or comprehending, like, why is this animosity, or why is this negativity, or just why is this unknown energy coming toward me? Like, how do y'all maneuver through that? So y'all let me know what y'all do in situations like that. But it's a new season. It's April. I'm excited. You know, spring is here. We're closer to summer. Baseball season is in effect. Pollen season is in effect too, which I don't like. I used to have really bad energy. I used to have really bad allergies. Excuse me. And I feel like over the years it's gotten a little bit better. But it still kind of bothers me, you know, every other day. So I don't mind when it rains a lot during the spring season, because it washes away the pollen, bro. Because I can't stand it. I really can't. But let's go ahead and dive into the podcast. I actually had a lot of people hit me on several subjects and topics to talk about this week. And I don't even know where to start. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm just going to randomly go as I go here. Somebody asked me, what is your take on spring cleaning? So physical space, mental space, other. That is a tremendous question. I feel like, I think spring cleaning is very vital, but that's not to say that cleaning every season isn't vital. I'm the type of person, I enjoy cleaning my house. I like throwing on some music. I love putting on, you know, my sweats, a dingy t-shirt, and get the scrubbing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll throw on some Masego, I'll throw on some Erykah Badu, I'll throw on some Tyler the Creator, I'll throw on some Hov, some D'Angelo, Anthony Hamilton, you name it. Like, I get to work when it comes to cleaning. So I think cleaning is an essential. I don't know why that was so hard for me to say. But you always want to make sure your space is clean. Because for me, I feel like when your house or your apartment or wherever you reside, I feel like once it's cluttered and there's when it's dirty, to say the least, you can't think clearly as if, you know, you are very organized and everything is where it's supposed to be and everything is spotless. I feel like your mental automatically flourishes based off of your environment. So I think it's vital, you know, my take on spring cleaning or just any cleaning in general, like it needs to happen. That is necessity. That is a non-negotiable. It is mandatory to make sure your environment is clean. I think the most I'll let happen, you know, sometimes I wait too long to do laundry. So like you'll start to see a pile and that even starts to tee me off too, because it's like, damn, I'm supposed to do laundry. I got to do it the next day. I got to do it the next day. I got to like, so it's just that small voice in my head saying, bro, you know, you got to do your laundry. Like, just go ahead and knock it out. Like, it's tedious and folding clothes and washing and drying stuff, but go ahead and get it done. I would say that's like a pet peeve of mine, is to just, I don't know, just have a clean space and the rest follows, you know, your mental space, it all follows. So hopefully that answered that question. I got another question about starting over. So starting over in regards to careers, projects, relationships. I'm trying to think how I can tackle this. I think in life, we're always chasing, not always chasing, but for a good majority of our life, we are chasing what we deem success to be, what we deem, this is what I love to do, what we deem like a fresh start. I feel like that happens often in our lifetime. So when you talk about careers, I can speak firsthand to that, man. Like coming out of college, when I graduated, I guess I had aspirations and just notions that I would get a job of in the field that I wanted, just like my other peers. It would be something that I love doing. It would be, I don't know, just this harmonious, you know, great thing if we're talking about careers, because I feel like people's careers change every day, or it changes overnight. You know, one day you might be infatuated and in love with being a doctor. And then the next day that doctor may not want to be a doctor anymore. After spending X amount of years in school and actually working hands on, and I'm just using a doctor for an example, like maybe that's not their true passion. And that can be the same thing with just anybody. So for me, like I can speak firsthand, like when I was in school, I pursued a career in nursing, and then, you know, halfway in, I'm like, this is not something I'm in love with. Like, am I in love with seeing people's blood or taking people's blood and blood pressures? And no, like, I like it. You know what I'm saying? This is something that I like enjoy looking at or doing in, you know, sometimes, but if this is a forever thing, like this isn't for me. So that's like halfway through my college career is when I kind of sat back and reassessed, like, what does Trey Matthews really want to do? No. What is my peers? What is my parents? What is my family? What is my professors want me to do? Like, what do I want to do? What brings me happiness? So I guess when it comes to careers, it's all about being happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether you make a 30K salary or 150K salary, like that career is, as long as it makes you happy, like, fuck what everybody else got to say about it, straight up. But when it came to me, I found that my passion was to make money with my likeness. So whether that's doing creative direction stuff, whether that's doing podcasting, whether that's selling merch, whatever the case may be, like that's what I really enjoy doing. And again, I know this is not a lucrative business when you talk about being like, when you talk about podcasting, at least, like, it's not a lucrative business. I'll be pretty honest with you. Like, it takes skin in the game for you to amass success, and you start to see monetary value come along with that. But it takes time, you know what I'm saying? But, like, in terms of, like, creativity is timeless, you know? So you can get paid tomorrow for helping creative direct somebody's album, or helping creatively direct somebody's photo shoot, or their set list for an upcoming show that they have, or, you know, rebranding themselves on social media. Like, that stuff is timeless because you know your value. Don't let any of these big corporations tell you, yeah, hey, you're only worth $22 an hour, or you're only worth $15 an hour. Like, says who? Like, so when it comes to starting over, like, it is nothing wrong with starting over when it comes to careers, when it comes to projects, when it comes to relationships, because that's a part of life. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gain that experience, and that shifts your perspective. So when the next project you start on, you have a sense of, like, experience, you can say, on, okay, this is how I navigate when it comes to starting over or starting on a clean slate, because it's going to happen. Same thing with relationships, right? Like, there's going to be that one girl you dated for 2 years, or that girl that you dated for 5 months, or vice versa, that guy that you dated for a few weeks, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, he does some fuckboy shit, and then you go tweet, like, niggas ain't shit, this, that, and the third. Like, it happens, you know what I'm saying? But don't place that stigma on the entire community based off of one experience that you've had, or a few experiences that you've had with men or that you've had with women. And I'm not the relationship guru, but I just think it's unfair if you have a girlfriend and she cheats on you tomorrow, that doesn't mean all women are the same. Nah, that just says, like, she's just a bad apple. And same thing with homeboy. So when it comes to starting over in a relationship, like, and I kind of feel y'all on this. Like, I be jaded too. Like, over the years, you know, I've gotten the relationships broken up, and starting over is, it makes you jaded after a point, because yes, your favorite color is orange. What do you like to do in your leisure time? Who is your favorite artist? You know, how many brothers and sisters do you have? It's the same commonalities in terms of, like, learning a new person over. So it can be annoying per se, but it can also stimulate growth and, again, perspective. Like, this is what I preach a lot on this podcast about, is perspective. So let me see, what else did he put? Projects. I think projects go hand in hand with, like, creativity. I think I kind of covered that. But I say all that to say, it is nothing wrong with starting over. Like, some of the best and most successful people in the world have to start over time after time after time. Like, yeah, that's just the reality of it, you know? Like, it is nothing wrong with starting over. I guess the biggest advice is, don't beat yourself up about it. Don't feel like you're in the wrong direction if you're having to start a project over, if you're having to start a relationship over, or if you're starting to just find who you are and get into the career that you really want to do. Like, don't feel away about that. Some people really don't know what they want to do until they're 30 or until they're 40. And that is totally okay, because, again, time is not even real. Let's be honest. Like, this is something that our society has instilled in us to feel like we're on a time clock from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed, and do it all over again. So don't feel like you're on a ticking clock. Like, you go at your own pace, at your own speed, and it is your life. It is a marathon. Dang, I got some good topics. Yeah, I got some tremendous topics. TikTok being eliminated. This I actually didn't even know about until I got hit up about it. And I sound like a hater, but I'm kind of happy. But I have this article pulled up. U.S., Canada eliminating TikTok on government devices. Let me see if I can find one that talks about... I'm going to go on Forbes. I guess Forbes is a trustworthy website, right? TikTok must be removed from government workers' devices within 30 days, White House says. And I quote, the White House on Monday set a 30 day deadline for federal agencies to remove TikTok from all government-issued devices, months after Congress voted to ban the use of Chinese-owned social media app on government devices over national security concerns. The director of the White House Office of Management and Budget said in guidance that federal agencies must delete TikTok from staff and federal contractors' work devices within 30 days unless there are exceptions. The guidance allows for limited exceptions to the ban, including its use for law enforcement activities, national security interests, and security research with prior approval. However, agencies will not be allowed to issue blanket approval for the use of the app, and exceptions can be made on a case-by-case basis. Agencies has also been ordered to block TikTok's installation on government devices and prevent any internet traffic between the app and these devices. Federal agencies have been given a 90-day timeline to include the ban in any of their future contracts, while also canceling any existing contracts that require the use of the app. TikTok has not responded to Forbes' request for the comment. I really don't even know, like, where to start, where to begin, where to end. I mean, I was never a huge fan of TikTok to begin with. I feel like if you've been listening to this podcast for a long time, like, my sentiments pretty much stay the same. You know, I use social media as a resource and a tool. Outside of that, it is a fictitious construct. Like, people are only going to post the highs. People are only going to post what they want you to see. People are only going to post to make... I don't want to sound like a negative Nancy on this topic, but I mean, personally, I don't use TikTok too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is some, I guess, pros when it comes to TikTok, you know, whether, you know, you're trying to learn how to cook a recipe, you know, or learn a recipe rather, like, styling an outfit together, getting some knowledge when it comes to, I don't know, like, pretty much anything, right? It's to me, what I don't like about TikTok is, I don't know, people not really being themselves. Like, we live in a society now where people will do anything for attention, anything to get clicks, anything to get viewed, to feel cared about. And that is not a good thing. You know what I'm saying? I remember when Instagram first came out, and people weren't posting cheeks on the gram. People weren't posting drugs and money on the gram. Like, people were genuinely posting, like, a picture of their dog or the vase that they just purchased or their grandkids or, like, you know, you with your college degree or, you know, like, it was in light of something that was positive and lighthearted. And I feel like now we are so overstimulated. Especially our generation, my generation, we are so overstimulated when it comes to TikTok, when it comes to Instagram, when it comes to Twitter. Like, we will click on our phone the moment that we wake up, and not me, because I at least try to say a prayer, use the bathroom, and then check my phone. But some people on the wake up, they grab me for the phone. And no shame in that. I'm just telling you how I go about mine. But yeah, you can open your app the minute you wake up. You can see somebody getting shot. Then you scroll down. Then you see somebody smoking and pointing guns in the camera. Then the next slide, you see dogs fighting. Like, it is just so much from within that the first initial 30 seconds to a minute that you may see. And I know that sounds like a crazy ass, like, feed. But some people's algorithms are like that. Not mine, you know what I mean? But there has been instances where I have woke up and grabbed my phone, and the first thing I see is some violence or something that's, you know, that saddens me. And it's just like, damn, like, I just woke up. Like, is my brain even ready to process this fully on what I've been, you know, what I just saw? So I guess I say all that to say with TikTok, I mean, if it comes out, like, or not even if it comes out, I guess we knew from the beginning that this was orchestrated, and, you know, the use of the Chinese-owned social media app. Like, we knew this was owned by them. And if we can further prove that they're using this to spy and get analytics and data on us, then why would we do that? Because there's a lot of shit happening right now. Like everything from this, from the spy balloons that happened a few, you know, was that a couple weeks or a couple months ago? Like, I didn't forget about that. It's just very eerie. Like we're going into a very eerie time when it comes to the world. I don't even want to say our society in the US, but when it comes to the world. So, I mean, it is what it is, bro. Like, I didn't think TikTok was going to last long anyway. I mean, it's been here definitely for a few years, but if they have to remove it to ensure our safety, like, cool. I don't really have much to say on this. Like, this doesn't affect me too much, you know, but to the masses that consistently get on there or like use that for, you know, as a tool, I can definitely understand how y'all are upset and disappointed in that. But I've always liked to say, like, even now on Instagram, your post or, you know, your reel can only go so far in the algorithms. Instagram is not pushing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes, like, I don't see my bestest of friends post. Like, they can post their son, or they can post, you know, a fire-ass fit they got on, or my homegirl can post her doing hair or something like that, and I may not see it until that next day, 19 hours later. It's just like, damn, why wasn't this on the top of my timeline instead of some advertisement about, I don't know, Crocs or some shit? Like, I really don't know. So my perspective on Instagram too is like, again, I use it as a tool, and, you know, I get on there for leisure sometimes, but I can only push my stuff so far in there too. So that's why I'm looking for what's next. What is the next social media platform, or what's going to be the next tool that's going to help push your creativity projects to the next level, or you promoting yourself? Like, what is the next wave of that? So that's what I've been trying to figure out. Hopefully I'm just not like rambling, but this is all in real time. I really don't know how to feel about this TikTok thing. I just think it's pretty hilarious, to be honest. Let me see what else I can get into here. Oh, how could I be remiss? Hold on. Oh, wait, this is crazy. Before I even get into Angel Reese, like, this is crazy. Florida will now allow its residents to carry concealed guns without a permit or training. The law goes into effect on July 1st. Well, first, it's Florida. So if you expect any chaotic, egregious shit, it's gonna be out of Florida. This does not surprise me, because people already walk around without a permit or training. You know what I'm saying? Like, these people actively already do this. So I don't know if that really changes much. I just think since now it's a known, I don't even want to say this is a law. It doesn't even say law. It just says it will just now allow its residents. Like, does that make it a law? I don't know. But there's already been crazy people in this world carrying guns. And I'm a firm believer of guns don't kill people. Crazy ass people kill people. And I stand on that. Like, they're making this easier, you know. Like, last week I got on here and expressed my sentiments of how often the US, you know, has mass shootings. You know, we have more mass shootings this year than days. We have numerous amounts of school shootings, church shootings, Walmart shootings, mall shootings. There's just so much. Like, and again, that goes back to what I just talked about a moment ago, like, just overstimulating our brain, when it's just like, bruh, this doesn't really surprise me at all. I really don't have much to say on this one either. I know people have been talking about this, but this has already been happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't tell you how many times I've been out in public and I've seen a ding dong walking around toting a gun, or, you know, has a message on his shirt asking for a problem. Like, he or she wants you to provoke them to say something or act somebody, because they're itching to shoot somebody. So that's the scary part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a firm believer of the Second Amendment. Like, we do have the rights to bear arms, but there should be more care around it, in terms of not everybody should be able to have a gun, or they should make it more difficult, right? Like, people really need to have thorough background checks. I feel like some people should even take tests to see if they even qualify, or even if they're qualified to have a gun. You know what I'm saying? Because some people aren't. Some people literally use it as a prop. People really think they got ops when their ops are not real. But let's go ahead and segue into, I feel like, the biggest headline, or the biggest social media headline, I guess, that's been kind of buzzing around. First and foremost, I want to say congratulations to the LSU women's basketball team for winning a NCAA championship. Such a monumental and historic run. I wasn't able to catch every single game of theirs, but I seen a good bit. And that squad is nice. You know, and Angel Reese, she will go down, I feel like, as one of the best. I know it's very early in her career, but, bruh, she's a dog. She is a dog for real. But obviously the controversy that's been circled around Angel Reese is her kind of showboating, or just being criticized for the gestures that she did in that game against Iowa. And I have a few different sentiments. For one, showboating and trash talk, let's not pretend like that's part of sports. You know, I played football for a period of time. I played pickup basketball. I've seen people play basketball. We watch NBA. We watch, you know, baseball. We watch, it's an egalitarian list of sports that's out there. And they all trash talk. So let's start there. Like, this is nothing new. You know what I mean? And I feel like we're harping too long on, you know, saying Angel Reese may, or, you know, should have not done the John Cena, you can't see me. But how about them winning the championship? Like, it's been so much focused on this and not enough focused on the accolade that entire women's team accomplished. So that's one. I will say also, this is good for the sport, because I did see something the other day too. It had 9.9 million viewers, and that was more than any women's college basketball game ever, any MLS game ever, any Stanley Cup game since 1973, the 2023 Orange Bowl, the 2023 Sugar Bowl, the 2023 Thursday Night Football, 2021 NBA Finals, the 2020 World Series, the finale of Last of Us, and the most recent MLB, NBA, NFL, All-Star Games. Let's start there. So this is great for women's college basketball, or just great for women's basketball in general, because I feel like they get overshadowed a lot when it comes to NBA, or when it comes to just getting media coverage on TV. You know, let's just call a spade. Like, that's just what the reality is. So I'm glad that narrative, or, you know, is starting to change. But I don't think she was wrong for it. You know, Caitlin Clark, throughout the whole tournament, she was doing some disrespectful stuff. Like, and just because Angel Reese, you know, a sister, is doing the same thing, now she's an idiot, now she's stupid, now she's a bad sportsman. Like, let's stop that. Like, let's stop that. Like, the media is making this a race thing when it should not be. But again, are y'all surprised? Like, this is what America is. America was founded on racism and white supremacy. So it doesn't surprise me that the fact that she's taunting and celebrating, you know, the fact that she's about to win a championship is controversial when it shouldn't be. Like, how many athletes do we see on TV every single day, regardless of the sport? They're going to taunt at some point. Like, that's just happened. That happens. But this is from the New York Post. Caitlin Clark is not showing signs that she was bothered by Angel Reese taunting. The 21-year-old Iowa star appeared on ESPN SportsCenter for an interview. Asked about the controversy in which Reese hit her with the John Cena, you can't see me hand gesture. Clark at first said that she has not been on social media since Iowa's national championship game loss to LSU. Cap, because I know she has. Nonetheless, the person interviewing her continued to press about what might account for the difference in how people react to Reese trash talk versus when she did it and to her opponents earlier in the tournament. She says, and I quote, "We're all competitive. We all show our emotions in a different way." Angel's a tremendous, tremendous player. I have nothing but respect for her. I love her game. The way she rebounds the ball, the way she scores the ball is absolutely incredible. I am a big fan of her, even the whole LSU team. The way they played, I don't think there should be any criticism for what she did. I honestly didn't see when the game was going on and she, come on, she seen it. Let's just be real there. You know, she seen it, you know, or she, let's positive a 10, even if she hasn't seen it. I'm sure her cousin, her sister, her family, somebody let her know in her ear on what's going on social media and what's and you know, what's been going on since she lost in the tournament. And again, to me, nothing is wrong with that. And I love that Angel Reese is standing 10 toes on how she feels about it, because she's unapologetic, you know, unapologetic about herself. And again, I just feel like since it's coming from a sister, she's getting a lot of backfire for that, a lot of backlash. But again, they're just making this something that it's not. And I'll play a few clips that I had that I wanted to bring to y'all's attention as well. Hold on 1 second. Of course, they're going to hit me with the ad. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be YouTube if it wasn't for ads. And no, I am not that wealthy to where I can pay for advertisement-free YouTube.
I don't know how to feel right now. But we did it. This is for Baltimore. This is for the SEC. This is for everybody that doubted. This is for the girls that look like me that said that they can't do this. Y'all told me to calm it down. Y'all criticized me all year. I'm her. I'm telling y'all, I'm the Bayou Barbie, period.
I was critiqued about who I was. The narrative, I don't fit the narrative. I don't fit in the box that y'all want me to be in. I'm too hood. I'm too ghetto. Y'all told me that all year. But when other people do it, y'all don't say nothing. So this was for the girls that look like me, that's going to speak up on what they believe in. It's unapologetically you. And that's what I did it for tonight. This was for the more than, it was bigger than me tonight. It was bigger than me. Twitter is going to go in a rage every time. And I mean, I'm happy. I feel like I've helped grow women's basketball this year. I'm super happy and excited. So I'm looking forward to celebrating in the next season.
Yeah. So yes, the media is overreacting. They're being overboard. They're being dramatic. They don't like the fact that, you know, Caitlin Clark didn't win the championship, you know, because they wanted that Cinderella story of her being able to beat that LSU squad. But that did not happen. You know what I'm saying? And to the people that said that stupid ass shit of her being an idiot and her doing the most and all that extra shit, like, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Y'all have nothing else better to do. So yeah, we can move right along. I don't think I really have much else in sports. We can talk about music though. I'll start with Larry June and The Alchemist, The Great Escape. When I tell you this is some like luxurious, I'll just leave it there. Some luxurious like rap, some healthy and organic rap. This is the definition of that. This entire project. Like, come on, they have a song called Turkish Cotton. What do you want me to do with that, fam? Like, what do you want me to say? Porsches in Spanish, like ocean sounds. Like, come on. Come on. This is it. Larry June has not really missed on a tape, in my opinion. It's been at least 4 or 5 years, bro. It's been a hot minuto. It has. This is fire. I really don't have much else to say on it. Like, I spent majority of my week last week or this past weekend listening to this Larry June and Alchemist. I couldn't even get into another bag because I was just so into this. And every feature artist that he had on here, they demolished the track also. I think my favorite, and this might be, I might be going on a ledge, but I feel like my favorite verse on here from a feature was Action Bronson. He said, your bitch don't even know how to season meat. Something with the Sopranos season. Like, you just got to listen to it, bro. Like, I don't want to butcher what he said, but y'all take a gander at that. Boldy James, of course, did his thing. Who was that? Jay Worthy, Wiz, Joey Badass, Currency. Like, this was it, bro. Like, I have nothing negative to say about this project. It sounded very concise. It was cohesive. I feel like they didn't overdo it with the tracks. 15 was perfect. And it wasn't at any point of this project where I felt bored. You know what I mean? Like, Larry June is one of those people where, like, his flow can be a little lazy and a little chill and nonchalant, but that's what I like so much about it. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people say he gets his cadence or his style from Dom Kennedy, and there's no argument there for me. Like, I like Dom as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have nothing negative to say about that. Ty Dolla $ign also had an incredible feature on here with Summer Rain. Love that song. But I just love the message that Larry June has been pushing. And just, again, like, his brand. Like, his brand is always just leisure, chill, luxurious, vibing, like, rich, expensive. Like, you know what I mean? So I really appreciate this project, The Great Escape. This is something I will come back to a numerous amount of times. Really no skips in there for me. Segue into Tyler, the Creator, Call Me If You Get Lost, The Estate Sale. Same thing. I already didn't have really any skips on this project when it first came out. So the add-ons to here, same thing. Really don't have any skips. And I really appreciate the visuals that he's been putting out on social media as well as YouTube. I love it. You can tell that Tyler is in a different space in his career and in his life. You know what I'm saying? Like, what else does he have to prove? He has classic albums. He has classic records. He has timeless music, regardless of what people want to say about him, his sexuality, the way he goes about things. Like, Tyler he's an artist, bro. Let's start there. Every artist is unique in their own way. Some people may be mystique. Some people may be loud and boisterous. Or some people may just be Tyler. I don't even know what to box him into, but because you can't even box Tyler, the Creator, into anything. Like, he is that phenomenal of an artist. But yeah, bro, if y'all haven't, make sure y'all check out both of those tapes. And I can't harp more on the visuals that Tyler has put out. Like, they were so chill and so simplistic, and that's what made it, like, sensational. You know what I mean? Like, y'all just have to go check it out, man. Shout out to those guys right there. I know DJ Drama also dropped a tape. I really like that. I kind of skipped around, you know, like, the Tyler, Creator feature was dope on the first track. The Nipsey and Jeezy record was cool. Really, everything else I kind of really skipped around. There wasn't anything that kind of, you know, that I gravitated towards or that grabbed my attention off of first listen. I'll definitely go back and take a listen because it's DJ Drama. And y'all got to put some respect on Drama's name, too. That's one thing I feel like that we leave out often, like, Drama was arguably one of the greats when it came to dropping mixtapes back then when LimeWire, live mixtapes, all that stuff was a thing. But even now, he has found a way to, like, rebrand and also coexist with this new generation. And I love it, bro. I love it because he really didn't change anything. He stayed DJ Drama. Like, he stayed, you know, popping his shit on each record. His presence, he's always been a staple. In the game, like, that's just what it is, man. So hats off to Drama as well. My bad. I had to get a sip of water. I wasn't even speaking English at that point. But yeah, man, before I get out of here, I just, again, wanted to express gratitude in LSU winning their first national title. And this shouldn't be overshadowed by Angel Reese and her celebration and her having a good time with her girls. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we shouldn't be spending time on the stupidity of Dave Portnoy or whatever the fuck his name is, the founder of Barstool. Like, we shouldn't be spending time on that, you know, like, to people who really don't matter, who really don't have a voice. Because it's like, even if he has something positive to say, like, who cares? Like, nobody asked for your 2 cents to begin with. Like, we're never coming to you for the, oh, let's hear what you have to say. Like, we're cool. But yeah, man, definitely shout out to the first timers, last timers, and in betweeners for coming back week after week, showing much love. I appreciate y'all. It is going to be Easter Sunday weekend. So, hopefully y'all are praising the Lord, you know, with your family, with your loved ones, eating some good food, that kind of thing. Hopefully y'all have a blessed week. Blessed rest of the week, I should say. And just be positive. Remember that. Be positive. Be comfortable in your own skin. Don't let nobody trick you out of your position. Don't let anybody even get under your skin. Like, it's not worth it, bro. I promise it's not worth it. Like, it is, you're doing too much good for this planet for somebody to come ruin your day or ruin your month or ruin your week. So, with that being said, peace.